the strong use of color, talent, the ability to diversify mediums, and the knowledge to teach. Sounds like a list and an experiment to create the perfect artist. This extraordinary mixture of gifts isn't reserved for imaginary artisan or for craftsmen you'll never meet. These things describe an artist that has mastered his work for over 40 years. Today, we sit down with the local cultural juggernaut, the Joe Roche. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like always, I am joined by an incredibly special guest. As a matter of fact, just before the mics got hot and the camera started rolling, I was just telling him that he is one of the people that still make me nervous because I see him as one of the forefathers of art and culture in this area. I am joined by none other than the incredibly talented and the incredibly special Joe Roche.
Thank you, Josh.
No. Thank you. I am looking so forward to this conversation. I've been salivating about it all week because there's just so much that I want to ask you as a fan, as a social curator of art. Your life and how it's spooled out is something that anybody who has these interests can eat from. And so I want to just jump right in. I don't want any more glitz and glam. Let me ask you this. This is a question that I've always wanted to ask you personally. And it might sound cliche because when you're talking about artists, one of the things you're going to talk about is the use of color. I don't think anybody uses color like you use color. You can see it, the houses that you have. You paint a lot of these houses, and it's kind of the same house, which I want to ask you about too. But the colors in those pieces and so many of your other pieces, they're disparate, separate, but they also kind of blend. Talk to me a little bit about how you choose your colors, why you choose so many, and how you make it look so good.
Well, thank you. Well, I do use color as one of my main focus in the artwork that I do. Because what I believe is that, you know, you can use certain vehicles in the way that you do your artwork that make it strong or makes it something that is special to what you do. So the houses are one thing. That's kind of the motif. And the color is the vehicle to make what is the motif become something that people are attracted to. Because in visual art, many times what people may be attracted to before they have attention about what the artwork is about is the visual quality. And so the visual quality to me is that color.
Yeah. So now let me go piggybacking on that. The houses that you paint, are you familiar with the houses that I'm talking about? They come up in a lot of your work. They kind of look like what my mom or dad would have called traditional Southern shotgun houses or off-plantation houses. Is that house symbolic of anything? Is it sentimental to you? Or is it just something that you feel you need to resonate with?
Well, the houses are kind of a symbol that I use to talk about Black culture. And one of the first shows that I did when I started this series was a show called The Color of Music. I did that probably about maybe 15 years ago. And that show was about paying homage to the musicians that created jazz and blues music. I believe that jazz and or blues, let's say first, and then jazz, are one of the original, or maybe the only original, American music. I mean, there have been a lot of offshoots from these art forms, but a lot of this stuff was created and developed by people who lived in houses like this, who were poor, but they had a lot of resilience, a lot of creativity, and they created something that was artistic and beautiful. And even without having the background of people giving them money and that kind of thing, they still created those things.
You know, this was a question that I wasn't even going to put before you, because I thought that it was cliche, trite, and recycled, but it's obvious that you're a black artist.
Yeah.
But since you brought that up, I kind of want to dig in, because as I've combed through your pieces over the years, never being able to afford any, but just window shopping, you know, as we do with legends, I've noticed that you're a lot like Toni Morrison. Your central characters or your central themes are black, but it doesn't really come with an announcement. It comes with a vibe, or like you said, the houses that were used by these people. How important is race in your work, and how important is it informing how you do your work as a black man?
Well, you know, as an artist coming out of university and study, at that time, there was a lot of emphasis on black culture, and some of the artists, visual artists, were painting and drawing images that were about the protest movement and many of those types of things. Then there was a cycle where we thought maybe that wasn't what we should be doing, and maybe we should try to do things that are a little bit more, let's say, mainstream. Mm-hmm. Now it appears that things have kind of gone cycled a little bit, and it is important to talk about some of the art forms of black people and bring those up as issues, because they're prevalent now. They need to be talked about.
Now, this may or may not be the case. I don't know. But I wanted to ask you, even the first time I saw this piece, when it was at 621, there's a picture of a woman wearing a shirt. And the shirt is a Skittles shirt. And I think it's called like a hardworking lady or hardworking woman.
Yeah.
Is that in some way a political homage to the Trayvon Martin situation? If so, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So first of all, I'm glad you answered that. So that is a yes, I thought, but I didn't ever think to ask it. And the second thing is, what do you see as the responsibility of art in political movements or social movements or just the current state of the day?
The reason I painted that picture was because I was, you know, there's a Magic Market that's right down the street from me, or whatever you call it, 7-Eleven. I would go in sometimes, and in the evenings, I teach classes in the evenings, so sometimes in the evenings I would go in, and there would be these ladies that were working at night, and, you know, usually it was a black woman, and it was late at night and probably not a very safe position to be in, working at a place like that. And I thought about the idea, because I was looking at something on television, and somebody was talking about hardworking people, and they weren't referring to people like this lady. And I thought, you know, to me, the people who get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and open a Magic Market or a McDonald's is hardworking person. And many times a person who has a lot of the money and work in a bank goes work at 10 o'clock is not necessarily the hardworking person.
Yeah.
So that was what that was about.
I heard that. Some of the unsung heroes.
Unsung heroes.
How long have you been practicing your art? When I see a piece like Backyard Garden with Shadows, how you just using color, it's not like you're using light, but it looks like the sun shining, because you know how to like juxtapose dark shades and light shades. I mean, it looks like the sun is coming through those trees. How long does it take a person to get that proficient, and how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing artwork most of my life, since I was a teenager, just kind of playing around. Then I did a study at Florida A&M University for undergrad, and I did graduate work at the University of Wisconsin. But when I was working, my professional work was work done not in necessarily in painting, because I worked as a director of an instructional technology area. So I was doing computer work mostly. So I didn't paint full time, and it was kind of like behind the scenes and later in the afternoon. I think putting time in, you know, whatever you do, you have to put the time in whenever it's possible.
I heard that.
Yeah.
You also are an educator of art. How does it feel being on the opposite side. You know, you're a practitioner because you can do it, but you're also a facilitator because you teach it. Does it take the same type of discipline? Is one easier? Is teaching easier? Is doing easier? Is one come more natural to you? Which one do you enjoy more?
Yeah, I enjoy teaching. Teaching is like, if you do it the right way, I think, it's like learning in a way, because to teach somebody something, you have to kind of really understand it more than just kind of understanding it on your inside your head. You know, you got to understand how to say it to someone else. And in understanding how to say it to someone else, it makes it clearer to you. And so I always take teaching as a way of getting a little bit more knowledge myself.
Yeah, I know just what you're saying. I'm also an educator. Yeah. If you just go in with that peripheral knowledge that you learned in textbooks, you might as well be a robot. It's not until you live in it and absorb it that you can understand it on a level that you can communicate it. That was a beautiful way of saying that. All right, let's bring this thing to Tallahassee. Let's bring it back local, because it's my first great love and the only friend of mine. You've got a piece that everybody would know if they looked at it, and partly because everybody's driven by it. If anybody's ever been on Centerville Road for any amount of time, there's that iconic yard with the whales that jut out of the ground and the flag in the background. You painted that piece, that yard, like nobody. When I see your picture, when I see your artwork on that yard, it just transports me to Centerville Road. Let's use Centerville Road as our vehicle for Tallahassee. How has this community treated you? How have you enjoyed being an artist here?
Being an artist in Tallahassee has been really good in a way. I think Tallahassee is not a huge town, obviously, but it has a lot of people that I think, just because you have three educational institutions that are, you know, college, university level, and you have the state here. So you have a lot of people that are thinking about things. So it's good in that way. The fact that it is a smaller town, if you're doing artwork, obviously the bigger the area, the more you can do sales. So that part is, you know, just being a little smaller. So, you know, we do a little bit, but it's not great stuff. Yeah.
But outside of that, have you been able to build a meaningful art community in Tallahassee?
Yeah. I think the fact that you have even as many art facilities as you do have in Tallahassee, as I say, for the size that it is good. I mean, there's some really good places, and I think they're very active. So I work with LeMoyne, and I teach classes there. We have a lot of people that come through from the community, and we keep the classes, and not just my classes, but all of the classes full. So there are a lot of people that are interested in doing some kind of art.
If you were talking to a younger Joe Roach, right, in that same type of dynamic, what would you tell him?
Well,
about art specifically.
Oh, about art.
Or about life. You know, we can get wisdom from you in any way.
Yeah. About art, basically, is that you have to evolve and create work that relates to the time that you're living. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, things that you might have done in 2010 may not be the things you should do in 2014, because they may not communicate as well. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have the same ideas about what you want to paint or what you want to create, but sometimes you have to modulate what you do to communicate. So I think that's the way it is with any kind of art form.
And that's a great lesson for life, learning how to pivot.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
What it was today, it might not be tomorrow, but you got to live in both of them, so you better find a way to do it.
Right.
One thing that I don't think you're Joe Roach, you get all the credit, but one thing I don't think you get enough credit for is how hyper-realistic you can paint. A lot of people, you know, think of you for, like, the colors, and it's almost like surreal folk in painting, but you paint realistic like nobody I've ever seen. That picture, old black man sitting in a chair next to a piece of The Collector, right? That looks like a, that just looks like a photograph of an old man. Is that something that you only pull out every now and then, like a Jedi with this lightsaber? Because I really don't see that much hyperrealism from you. There is the other piece, is Jefferson County.
Yeah, Jefferson County Man.
Some of those pieces are really realistic, but I don't always see. Talk to me a little bit about the discipline or the skill it takes to paint somebody that looks like somebody.
Well, you know, I paint representationally and very realistically when it should be done that way. And sometimes I'm a little concerned about having one kind of work and another kind, because people like to kind of pigeonhole what you do. So I show some things sometimes, and I don't show them together. But I don't see the big difference. You know, sometimes, say, there are musical artists that sing rock and roll, and then they might do classical music. So you can do those kind of things. You can move around that way. Sometimes things need to be said a certain way. So you say them the way they need to be said.
The you know, I thought if there's any younger artist or anybody that's up and coming, I thought that was a great piece of advice too, that in a way you said, if you let them put you in a box, that box can serve as your prison, you know, that you have to live outside of it. Let's jump to something. I don't even know if people have made this connection. I'm sure most people have. But for the people that don't know, in your collection, you also have a picture of your daughter, Aja. And Aja is also, too, living a brilliant life in the art and cultures as the executive director of Foster Tanner. How does it feel to have that as your posterity and your legacy, not only just a very gifted and talented person, but also kind of in the vein of something that you've spent your life in?
Well, it makes me very, very happy. It makes me smile a lot. I'm very proud of her.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think the name of that piece is Aja the Curator.
That's right. Yeah.
And which is a perfect segue for my next question. You've also lended your hand to curating. Is it, as a matter of fact, I just saw a show of yours at LeMoyne that you, first of all, let me say, exquisite. Not just the art selected, but the way you placed it. It was really cool. That washing machine over in the corner, that was like an installation. That's my type of art. You know, I'm 61. It's not always about how you can sell it. It's about how it makes you feel. Let me ask you this. Is placing, facilitating, and leading artists in the way that curators have to do something that you enjoy, or was it just a natural transition of being a local legend in art?
Choosing the art was very much something I was involved with. I didn't, and I'll have to, I don't want to, this to go out and take credit for something I didn't do. Sure. I didn't really place the work.
Okay.
That was Isabel, who is the curator of the gallery. So she placed it. We talked about some of the work that was going to be in there in the show, and I got some feedback from the person who's in charge of the Big Ben Art Association.
Okay.
And so I chose the pieces, and I was really proud because they did look good. I was really happy about
The show. This is a question that I ask a lot on this program, and I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what is art to you? What does art mean to you?
Yeah. You know, I think after people get food, shelter, and clothing, then, you know, there's, you know, maybe the science so you can make sure you can find a way of where you are. Then the other thing is art, because if you look at almost everything that you are around, art is involved with it. So, you know, a person paints pictures, but that's just one form of art. But you drive a car and you like the design. You wear certain kind of clothes, that's art. You you know, almost everything you touch other than what you need to just basically survive is art. And so art to me is the kind of the way that we become human in a way, that we take ourselves a little bit out of just making the stuff that we need just to live.
Yeah. I will say this in closing. First of all, this has been an incredible conversation, and I thank you for it. But it's not lost on anybody that I'm a tall man with a Napoleon complex. And I think you may be one of the first guests outside of Steve Dollar that I've interviewed that's taller than me. But what I want you to know is your stature is not just physical, and it is a presence that has decorated this city and this community in such a way for such a time. And I appreciate you for spending a little of that time with little old me. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Josh.
And I appreciate you all at home for joining me for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.